Joe Hockey is the former federal treasurer and Australia's former ambassador to the United States. Joe Hockey, good morning. Welcome. You were dubbed a Trump whisperer. Do you think the president will win? Does he deserve to win?
Well, they're two different questions, Sabra. The first is, will he win? And I think at the moment, if you look at all the technical aspects of the election, you'd say Joe Biden is going to win. But there is something that is gnawing away at me that suggests that Donald Trump still has a pathway to victory. And there are a lot of people out there that are shy or embarrassed about voting for Donald Trump, but are voting for Donald Trump because of his policies and, quite frankly, because they don't want to be bullied into voting for someone else.
You've talked about that quiet group of Trump supporters who want to put banners out on their lawns but won't because they fear reprisals. Have you spoken to people like that?
Well, there's a lot of people I've spoken to like that in safe Republican districts that would say it's not worth the fight. I mean, one of the safest Republican districts in Texas is in Dallas, and I've got friends there, and they said that there's Biden signs everywhere, but everyone's voting for Trump because, firstly, it's not worth the argument with their neighbours or with the person who is arguing for Biden. And secondly, you know, they don't necessarily feel comfortable about boasting they're backing Donald Trump. He has been subject to all sorts of allegations over the years. His tweets are often quite unpleasant, and most people wouldn't want to be associated with some of the things he says, but they sure do want to be associated with his policies. And the question is whether they're going to put policies ahead of politics.
Now, you neatly sidestepped the first part of that question. Does he deserve to win?
Well, that's for the American people to decide. I mean, I'm not so arrogant as to think that, you know, as a non-US citizen, I should be talking about whether Donald Trump deserves to win. What he does represent is a big chunk of America that feels as though it's been disenfranchised. And I think everyone in the world needs to be mindful of the voices of the previously unheard or unlistened to. And when you look at the swing voters and what the sort of people that are going to decide the election, they're the ones that are sending their kids on their third tour of duty to Afghanistan. They're the ones earning $11.11 an hour working at Walmart, and they're the ones that take great pride in going to church and working in the mines or working in fossil fuel-based industries, driving fuel-based cars and having guns. They're the sort of people that haven't been heard that Donald Trump has been listening to.
And that disenfranchised cohort, the Democrats were criticised for 2016 for not reconnecting with them and for demonising them. Has Joe Biden, in his campaigning, has he reconnected with that cohort?
Yes, I think he has. I think Joe Biden does connect with that cohort. He is a humble and an endearing man. I mean, he's a good man, Joe Biden. And I think he's been around for so long that people are familiar with him, people like him, and he does come from a working-class background. So that has been to his great advantage and the advantage of the Democrats. But obviously the fissures in the Democratic Party have, worsened over the last few years as a more radical left-wing element has come to the fore. In this election, they've fallen in behind the candidate. And at the last election, of course, people like Bernie Sanders refused to support Hillary Clinton. So the Democrats are far more united, far more focused, but there is still an element of doubt in the minds of many working-class people about whether Joe Biden really is the Democrats or there's something else.
Who would be the best president for Australia?
Well, Sabra, Australia is in a great position because both parties have worked closely with us. Both candidates have worked closely with us. I think we're in a uniquely good position compared to many other countries around the world. And that will continue. I don't see any great change. I particularly do not see any change in relation to policies about China. The only policy that seems to unite both sides of politics here in the United States is their view about China and the rising challenge of China. And that's going to provide its own sort of challenges for Australia into the future.
Mr. Trump has downplayed the pandemic. He's mocked the use of masks. America is now recording something like nearly 100,000 cases a day. On that alone, should he be rewarded with another term?
Well, again, that's for the American people. But there are deep divisions in this community about how to handle coronavirus. And also, as we've seen graphically in Australia, about who has the power to deal with the coronavirus. You know, Australians have just discovered how powerful state premiers are, particularly in relation to border closedowns. Well, it's exactly the same, if not more significant, here in the United States. It's also the case that Washington, D.C., like in Australia, the capital, the federal government, doesn't run a hospital. It doesn't run primary health care. But having said that, there's no doubt that Donald Trump, through his words, through his ill-guided thoughts on coronavirus, has lost a lot of support and made, at times, things far worse. And he is being punished for it. I mean, opinion polls show that Joe Biden is much preferred to handle the coronavirus. But at the same time, if America doesn't continue to open its economy, the social impact of closing down the economy will be horrific and long-lasting.
Mr. Trump says he's warned of bedlam in the if there's no clear result in Tuesday your time. Some have even floated the idea that it's possible that troops might be sent in. He won't go peacefully. Do you believe that?
Well, you know, just walking the streets of Washington today, businesses are boarding up. They're nailing boards over their windows. Barriers are going out. I understand it's the same in Los Angeles, the same in New York and a number of other cities. I mean, the United States has had domestic upheaval and riots on previous occasions, and the worst ones were, in fact, 1968. But this is a nation that is deeply divided. And whoever is elected on Tuesday, and it'll probably take many days after that until there's a final count, but whoever is elected is going to have the most significant challenge, perhaps even since the end of the US Civil War, and that is to try and bring this nation together. It is a deeply, deeply divided nation. If Donald Trump loses, he isn't going anywhere. He's going to be a force of nature and have a huge impact on American politics for years to come. And if Donald Trump wins, there's no doubt that there'll be deep divisions because the Democrats will not take it easily.
All while attention's been on this, America has had to contend with the pandemic, and you've been very worried about a lost generation of children. Why?
Well, there are significant reports around the nation that teachers have lost contact with up to 30% of the students in their classes. In places like Kansas City and parts of California, teachers have simply lost contact as the schools have gone virtual. And the people most significantly affected are the poorest communities, the ones that don't have Wi-Fi, don't have laptops, and in fact, tragically, foster children and a lot of homeless children that have relied on schools, including for food and clothes, have simply disappeared. And it's just one example of how the United States is struggling with lockdowns. The number of people going forward and getting tested for cancer has dropped dramatically. And health officials have said to me that they believe it's going to be an absolute tragedy when it emerges that people come forward with late stage cancer, having put off going and getting checked. There's these sorts of horrific tsunamis that are coming down the pipeline as a result of the coronavirus that thank God Australia hasn't had to deal with on the scale of the United States.
Joe Hockey, thanks for joining AM this morning.
Thanks very much, Sarah.